Thank you very much. We are here to bring you the story behind the music you love and to introduce you to the men who make that music at Orchestra Hall. You'll also get to hear an informal and easy-to-understand discussion of music and its interesting personalities. And what's more, you, listening right now, have an opportunity to win two main floor tickets to a concert by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. And now let's turn to the pages in your symphony scrapbook devoted to the violin, and we have with us as our guest Mr. Samuel Siegel, member of the violin section of the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. Mr. Siegel, will you identify for our listeners the passage you played at the beginning of this program and perhaps play some more from that symphonic composition?
This is the beginning of the third movement of the Sinfonietta by Leos Janáček.
Since this is the first time we've had the privilege of having you on the scrapbook program, I think our listeners would be interested in knowing something about your background, where you studied, and perhaps something about any orchestra training you've had before joining the Chicago Symphony Orchestra.
Well, going backwards from my work with the Chicago Symphony, which began about 2.5 years ago. Before that, I spent 15 months studying in Paris with one of the professors of the Conservatoire, Calvé, and I attended the master classes of George Enesco. Before I went to Paris, I was working recording music in the Hollywood studios. I was on the contract to Universal International 4 years, and worked in almost every other studio in Hollywood. And before that, I played second violin in the Roth String Quartet. And I had some experience playing in the National Symphony Orchestra in New York City, which is an orchestra for training students. I studied with Serge Kogouev, who was the teacher of Misha Mishikov, now concertmaster of the NBC Symphony in New York and formerly with the Chicago Symphony. I studied with a number of other teachers. In fact, if I go back far enough, I started to study the violin when I was 4.5 years old.
That's a good long period of training. I'd like to ask you a question that is, I've heard discussed every once in a while by string players, especially violinists, the comparison between violin playing in the, let's say, the olden times and violin playing today. And I've heard musicians sort of look down disparagingly on the older instrumentalists, say of a century or two ago, with the idea that, well, those fellas didn't play so well today. They didn't have the techniques that we have today. As a violinist, how do you look upon that questioner? What's your share in the discussion?
Well, for a long time I held that opinion until one day I began to think about it, and I realized that it's universally acknowledged today that the finest instruments were made in that period. You had the great period of Italian painting and so on. And it seemed to me that if they had such a feeling for craftsmanship, for art, that they should have played accordingly. And my feeling is that while they didn't play with the modern technique today, the modern agility, you might say, they played very beautifully, with great finesse and great feeling. And as far as actual technical difficulty, works like the solo box sonatas and some of the Tartini sonatas, not to speak of Mozart, so on, require the greatest command. And there's no artist today who can say that, for instance, he's an absolute master of the 6 Bach solo sonatas.
Now, could you take an illustration? So you mentioned Tartini, from Tartini, to show the difficulty involved there.
Yes. I've always heard, for instance, the Devil's Trill Sonata played in single notes. That is the first movement, like this. But at one of these classes I attended of Enesco, a pupil brought the sonata in and began to play it. And Enesco stopped and says, "Get the original. It's much more beautiful, even though it's more difficult." So the next lesson, he came with it and played it, and it was something quite different and very difficult. Of course, the story behind it is that Tartini had a dream of the devil playing for him, and he played the most difficult things for him with the greatest of ease. And so it's supposed to represent the limit of technique of that period. I'll play a little of it, show a difference. And the whole movement is written like that in double stops. But I've heard Kreisler and other great artists play it, and the whole thing has been arranged in a single melody, single line, without these double stops. I think it was Joachim started that tradition. He was the first to play it in modern times.
The implication is that if it were written in a difficult version, that it could be played.
Oh, it can be done. I'm sure it will be done and should be done. It's just a question of getting back to the original way it's being done in Bach and with other great composers of the past.
A few minutes ago, you mentioned the great period of instrument making, art, and so on. And that leads to another question I'd like to ask you, something about your own violin and bow. Are they old or modern?
Well, I have 3 violins, of which I use 2 in the symphony. The ones I use in the symphony, one is old. It's about 200 years old, and it's a very fine specimen of Matthias Klutz, a Tyrolean. And when I was in Paris, I bought a new French violin that was made in 1943 by Emile Francais, who is considered one of the best of the French makers today. This violin is a copy of the Cavernola Strad, which is played by Yehudi Menuhin today. And I like to use it occasionally because in the orchestra it has a certain strong biting quality. As for the difference between all the new instruments, my feeling is that in the old days the makers played. They played their instruments and knew them very well. And when they made their instruments, they understood the problems and difficulties of tone production and technique and made them accordingly, adjusted them, and made final touches, perhaps, that rounded out the tone, gave it more character, and so on. And today, I think the average violin maker doesn't have quite that approach. But there are modern violins today that compare favorably with some of the second-rate old violins.
Well, now, what about the bow?
Well, I have 4 bows, all French. 2 of them made by Francois Varin, who was one of the great 3, Tourte, Varin, and Picot. 1 is by Dominique Picot, and the 4th is by Lupo, who was a maker about the time of Tourte, one of the earliest makers. I use one of the Varins most frequently in the orchestra because I find that though it is a light bow, it's very easy to handle, and agility is very important in orchestral work, I think. I noticed that the number of the violinists in the orchestra use violins.
I remember one time you told me a very interesting story about a bow that was supposed to be an original and turned out to be not an original. I wonder if you'd tell our listeners that story.
When I was in Los Angeles, there was a violin maker who was dead now, who was considered a great authority on bows. And one day he showed me a bow, and it looked exactly like a very fine tourette. And he showed it to me and asked me what I thought about it. I says, well, if it looks like a very fine bow, could it be a tourette? He says, no. Though he says that any expert would look at this and say that it is a tourette. So I asked him, how would you know then that it isn't a tourette? He says, well, put it on the string, play with it. So I played it, and it just sounded very ordinary. And so he says, well, that's the test. A tourette will sound like a tourette. It will produce a golden, a luscious quality. But this, by just a second-rate maker, sounds like a second-rate bow.
I wonder if you mentioned the Bach sonatas a few minutes ago. I wonder if you could play us a passage from one of those sonatas.
Well, I'll play the beginning of the C major solo sonata.
Thanks ever so much, Mr. Siegel, for this interesting program. And now we're happy to send a pair of tickets for a concert by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra to Mr. Charles O. Partridge of Chicago for his interesting letter. He said, on December 27th, when asked to play a selection from symphonic literature, the violinist stated that he would play a portion of the Mozart Symphony in E-flat, whereupon he played a passage, which I took to be from the first movement of the Mozart No. 40 in G minor. I am not being critical, merely curious. And I want to say that Mr. Partridge was absolutely correct, and we're very happy to add his correcting letter to our symphony pages.